Press.
Greetings and salutations. I'm going to call the meeting of the Board of Directors to order. Tonight is Wednesday, May 21st. As always, we're going to start with the Pledge of Allegiance, and I'm going to ask Director Yeo to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance this evening.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk, will you call the roll, please?
Director Mezqua?
Present.
Director Bilodeau?
Present.
Director Green? Director Jung? Director Meeks?
Here.
Director Nguyen?
Here.
Director Sheldon?
Here.
Director Tran?
Here.
Director Wigan?
Here.
Director Yeo?
Here.
You do have a quorum with all 10 directors present.
Great. Mr. General Manager, are there any items received too late to be agendized?
There are none.
Great. Now is the time for visitor participation. If anyone would like to address the board on an item not on the agenda, but is within our subject matter jurisdiction, please come forward. I see no one online. So moving on, that brings us to the consent calendar, which consists of items 1 through 25. They'll be passed with one motion. Would anybody like to pull an item to discuss separately?
Move the consent calendar.
Second.
I'll second.
Great. We have a motion in a couple seconds. Madam Clerk, if you'll call the roll.
Roll call. Director Mezqua?
Yes.
Director Bilodeau?
Yes.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Jung?
Aye.
Director Meeks?
Yes.
Director Nguyen?
Yes.
Director Sheldon?
Yes.
Director Tran?
Yes.
Director Wigan?
Yes.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Okay, that motion carries unanimously, 10-0.
Okay, that brings us to matters for consideration. Item 26, the Santa Ana Watershed Project Authority, fiscal years 25-26 and 26-27 budgets.
Yes, Mr. President. Jeff Mosier, the general manager of SAPA, is to present his budget.
Where should... They gave... Oh, is it on? Is this on?
Yes.
They gave me instructions, but clearly I couldn't follow them. Thank you so much. Mr. President and Board of Directors, I appreciate the opportunity to be here. So just as a summary, you have a memo from your staff and the details on SAPA's budget. It's a two-year budget for the next two fiscal years. And so you do see me every 2 years come and talk to you about the approval of our budget, which is required by the JPA. And so we get a resolution from you and the other five member agencies on this. So I'll go over the budget numbers briefly, but I do just want to go over some other information just to remind you, you know, who SAPA is, what we do, what benefits that Orange County Water District gets out of our organization. So we are a joint powers authority. As you know, we have five member agencies. You're in the lower watershed, and then the four upper watershed member agencies. We have 26 employees. That's an important part of the budget. In terms of OCWD representation at SAPA, Director Bilodeau is our commissioner, and Director Jung is our alternate, and we appreciate the time that they spend at our commission meetings providing the direction and oversight for SAPA. We do have a One Water, One Watershed Steering Committee, and it has representatives from around the watershed, including county supervisors and representatives from various municipalities in the different counties. And Director Jung was just appointed to that committee from OCOG. We appreciate his ability to participate on that. His first meeting will be tomorrow on the OWOW. So that's one of the things that we also do in terms of the watershed. We meet with the general managers of the SAPA member agencies monthly. They provide a lot of information in terms of SAPA's activities and what we plan on doing. And then we also have OCWD staff that participate in our project working groups and our task forces. So I always have to mention our brine line. It's a big part of what we do and who we are. It collects salty effluents in the upper watershed. It's a benefit to Orange County Water District, and it keeps all those salty effluents out of POTWs, which discharge to the Santa Ana River, ends up behind Prado, and then eventually you recharge into the Orange County Basin. So the brine line removes 500,000 pounds of salt a day that doesn't end up in groundwater basins in the watershed and behind Prado. So that's a significant benefit and one of the primary reasons SAPA exists to be able to do these regional projects. OC San is our partner. Our brine line flows go through Plant 2. It's a segregated treatment system, so it does not end up in GWRS, just to make that clear. But both of our concentrates, yours from GWRS and our brine flows, both go out through OC San outfall, so we have that in common. Those issues may get more attention by regulators, and I suspect we'll be working together on those with OC San. Just in terms of the process for SAPA's budget, we develop goals and objectives for each of the fiscal years. We interface with the member agency CFOs and general managers. They provide a lot of review of what we do. There are preliminary budgets that are presented to the commission. Commission adopts the two-year budgets, and then each SAPA member agency has to adopt the budget through a resolution. So our budget is developed to support our vision. This is our current vision. We will be going through a strategic planning effort in the next year, but a lot of this would still be similar, to collaborate with member agencies and other stakeholders in the watershed. Our goal through OWOW and other programs is to create a sustainable watershed, try to be more drought-proof, manage salinity, but also support the economy and the environment in terms of the work that we do. We're a leader in regional planning, and we do a lot with forums where we bring stakeholders together on issues that impact the region, particularly regulatory issues that our regional board is interested in. So our vision includes three business lines. The brine line I already talked about, the One Water, One Watershed program. That's where integrated regional water management funding has come through. So I'll talk a little bit about some of the projects that are funded. We've gotten $240 million over the past 14, 15 years. It's been very successful, but we've been talking with our member agency GMs. IRWM funding is diminishing, and we're starting to think about what's next. How else do we position the region for state grant money? And you'll see where OCWD has benefited from that state grant money from the IRWM program. And then we do these roundtables, task forces. They're not for SAPA, they're for stakeholders, and they're on particularly sticky regulatory questions that we work with the regional board. And it's a good place for stakeholders to get together. We provide that forum through SAPA. We administer those task forces. Okay, the budget, there's going to be some numbers here. So these are the combined revenues. So the good news is we have a number of different revenue streams. The discharge fees, which through the brine line is the predominant one. We have grant proceeds. A lot of that is IRWM and other grants. That's a significant portion of some of the funding that we get. Member agency contributions. Here you see it's $2.27 million for the next fiscal year and then $2.4 million the following year. That's about 8 or 9% of our total budget, which I think is a great deal, but it's really based on the fact that we have these other revenue streams that help pay for SAPA staff, indirect costs, things like that. And you can see some of the other revenues that we have. Oh, I will mention we do pull money out of our reserves. That's all on the brine line side of things. OCWD doesn't contribute to that. That's the four upper water agencies. But we have what I think are useful reserves to be able to pay for condition assessments and upgrades on the brine line. So the combined expenses are listed here. Yes, most of them are on the brine line as expected. The general fund and the the OWOW fund, those are the ones that a good amount of the member agency funding supports. The other ones have other revenue streams. So it's general fund, we need that just for administration, and then our OWOW, which is the regional planning. So the contribution per member agency is listed here. So it goes back to 2022, just over 300,000. It has increased a bit. For the next fiscal year, the increase is less than 1%. For 2027, it's a little bit more at 6.5%. But these are not huge increases over 2025's. So on the order for each member agency, 450,000 for the first year and 480,000 for the next fiscal year. This is just a breakdown of some of those expenses that are paid for by member agency fees. So general planning on the watershed. When we do partnership studies, it's nice to have some funding to be able to work with USBR, EPA, or others. Our OWOW program is a big part of what we do. So we update our OWOW program. I'm going to talk about what our next vision is on this, the terms of OWOW beyond IRWM. And then there's a couple projects that you help pay for. I will mention on cloud seeding, you'll see that there's zero in the budget for 2026. That's because we postponed cloud seeding for this past year. I will tell you, there's been a lot of dialogue with member agencies and general managers about the future of cloud seeding. We have just received a draft validation report on the first year, and frankly, the results are mixed, right? It's not a slam dunk. So we're going to have some conversations with our member agency staff, the GMs, and the commissioners in the next month or two. We probably would not cloud seed anyway because of the burn scars this next year, but we really have to think about the future of the cloud seeding program, and it may have run its course, but that's something we're going to take to the commissioners the next couple months. So the validation wasn't as useful as we thought in terms of demonstrating the benefit. If you have any questions on that, I'll be happy to answer. But a lot of this is going to be reviewed by the commission over the next couple months. So getting to where some of the grant money goes to. So we get grant money through IRWM through various propositions. And so the projects here are ones that OCWD has received. So going back to Prop 84, there was funding for GBRS and flow equalization. I do want to focus on Prop 84 round two. That's the SARCUP program, where we benefit from taking excess water to the State Water Project and then putting in different basins around the watershed, including Orange County Basin. And we got $55 million in grant funding to build the infrastructure to be able to move that water around. So it's a very impressive project. I think projects in the future, regional projects, would look a lot like this. And those projects that are built in terms of wells and pipelines, they have other purposes. It's not just sitting there waiting for excess State Water Project, but they're used every day. So I do want to mention that GBRS final expansion got a grant, and your PFAS program also received a grant through IRWM. I will mention Prop 4 was passed right in 2024. There's only $100 million in that for IRWM. So if it's allocated as it has been in the past, we will get 10 or 12 million, right? Not big numbers. So that's a driver of us sort of rethinking what's next for the state. I will mention that our partner on OWOW is your North Orange County Integrated Regional Water Management Program. So they are a portion of our OWOW. They develop their own plan, and your projects are developed through a team of County of Orange, OCWD, and OC San in partnership with other agencies in the northern and central part of Orange County. I just want to show briefly some of the amounts of funding that OCWD receives. One I do like is the one that Santa Ana received. It's now the Ed Carruthers Park. That's finished. It's beautiful. It has groundwater recharge. It's multi-benefit. It's stormwater capture. It's at the corner of Raitt and Myrtle. That's something that was, I think, a very successful project. The PFAS program that you have received $4 million in round two from Prop 1. Santa Ana has another stormwater capture at the zoo. That one's in progress. And then MODOC received a grant for water use conservation for cities in Orange County. So just as a reminder, OCWD involvement, you're involved in some of our task forces. That's with other member agencies throughout the watershed. It's a great forum to talk about these issues. I talked about the cloud seeding pilot program. We did get a grant on that, but I gave you a summary on what's going on there. So Our most recent initiative is developing a climate adaptation resiliency plan, or CARP. So we received a grant through the Governor's Office of Land Use and Climate Innovation, not DWR, not State Water Board. And the idea was, and we worked with our member agencies on developing this concept, is developing a plan that can reflect a lot of the projects you're already working on or planning that would have a benefit for addressing climate resiliency. We think this is where the funding, the state funding, is going to come from, particularly under Prop 4. So if by doing this plan and looking at a lens of climate resiliency in terms of projects for you and the other member agencies and others in the watershed, we could position for these state grants. That's the idea. We think we're a little bit ahead of the game, but we think that will be good. So it's a $644,000 grant. It pays for 100% of the project. And again, it's to help build climate resilience in our watershed. And just to give you an idea of how this would look, it's fairly simple. We would classify what the climate risks are. We would ask you, other member agencies, what risk you're facing from a climate change point of view, identifying the vulnerabilities associated with those risks. There could be a lot of them. And then adaptation strategies and projects that would address those vulnerabilities. So walking through those three steps is what we're going to do as part of this grant over the next 18 months. There will be workshops in your service area with OCWD and your sub-member agencies, if I can refer to them that way. And again, it's to list projects and their benefits from a climate resiliency point of view. So that's all I had, Mr. President, and directors would be happy to answer any questions on the budget or anything else that SOP is involved in.
Great. I think Director Sheldon might have a question.
Thank you, Mr. President. Regarding the cloud seeding, I know, saw that the year 2027 does have monies in it. Is that correct?
Yes, Director Sheldon. That's a placeholder. That's a planning thing.
Could you remove that at this time and come back if SOPA elects to go forward with that, and we can deliberate that placeholder at that time?
I think if there was a motion, you could modify it that way, and that would be fine.
Okay, thank you. And what is your involvement with the Delta planning and the Twin Tunnels and all the work that's being done up there on those projects?
So that's not a direct focus of ours. So if our member agencies are involved in something where, like a letter of support for either legislation or projects, is something that our five member agencies got together and wanted SOPA to do to represent the region, we would do that. But we rely really on the member agencies for state projects like that.
Thank you.
So we could play a role, but it would be our member agencies asking us to play that role.
If I could add that comment that I made to the motion, that'd be great. If there's a.
Absolutely. And I just want to say as well, as Mr. Mosier, I really appreciate your objectivity in evaluating the cloud seeding program. As you know, our late director Rowe was the driver of that program. And I know that you've evaluated the data, and I just appreciate that you're willing to go either way. You're not wed to it. And we have received a lot of pushback from the public and a lot of questions, and rightly so. You know, they need to know what's going on. And it might be one of these things where it may not just be worth it to move forward. So I look forward to a robust discussion at the commission about that. So Director Sheldon, was that a motion for the budget and to remove the 2027 allocation for the cloud seeding?
Yes, it was.
Okay, so that's a motion.
I'll make a second to that.
Great. Is there any other questions for Mr. Mosier tonight? Oh, Mr. Yeo.
Thank you, President Bilodeau. Thank you, Jeff, for the presentation. I got a question on the last two slides. Don't mind going back. Yeah. So you receive a grant of $644,000 for developing a plan, right? So yeah, it's too tiny for me to read some reference into this. And this is, I can read it here. So yeah, it looks like we may have some opportunities there under sea level rise, you know, for seawater intrusion, that type of thing. So is this something that you're developing using the grant money for our watershed? Like opportunities of the different types of projects that we may be able to pursue That's under different grants, right?
Exactly right.
Okay.
And we actually use that example of sea level rise and the impact on ocean or coastal groundwater basins, right? We use that often as an example of a climate risk and a vulnerability to the groundwater basin. It just falls in line. But yes, but it's going to take advantage of a lot of the work that you, Orange County Water District, and the other member agencies have done. So we're going to get their documents. I think you guys are working on a resiliency program. San Bernardino Valley Municipal Water District has their own climate adaptation resiliency plan for their region. So we're going to pull that information together. There'll be things added to it as well as we work through the vulnerabilities. One thing that we would like to do is work with the member agencies on potential regional projects. So I think everyone's really good, right, at focusing on what they're doing. SARCUP was a great collaboration. Potentially, there's other things like that that we would like to look at that come out of the process. But it will look very familiar to your staff because it's going to include a lot of the projects you've already developed and new concepts you'd like to get into it.
Okay, great. So we may have some opportunity to pursue some future grants with...
Correct. You know, that's the idea. Because
okay.
We're trying to position the region, whether you use this document, and it's not really for SAPA per se, it's for the region. You use it or take information out of it to apply for grants to be able to get money, like under Prop 4 or other programs, for projects that you have.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an additional question on the slide that you had up on the climate adaptation. And I before I ask you the question, I want to ask our general manager a question. Have we seen a seawater intrusion additional problem that we attribute to climate?
Not yet. We're watching it closely, but on nothing yet.
But we have not.
For action.
Right. So do you see these types of programs replacing good old fashioned water supply programs?
I view the CARP as supplementing work that you're already doing. And our view is not to fix things in a year, but these plans would be set up for 5, 10, 20 years, right, to provide roadmaps for whether you're doing it or working with others to be able to address things, whether it's impacts on your groundwater basin or what's going on in the upper watershed.
I think our professional staff has done a good job, led by Lisa Haney, in taking this concept and really trying to make what I think it should be is more about water supply.
Exactly.
Whether,
yes.
I mean, if you look at the amount of water coming from the Delta, climate is not the problem. It's water supply coming down. So that's just a concern that
right.
I wanted to express to you.
I'm tracking.
Thank you.
So I'm tracking with you. And yes, water supply, I mean, that's a lot of what we do. Water supply is a big benefit, right? It'll be multi-benefit, but water supply would be a huge benefit for many, if not all, of these projects.
These programs have costs to them that while you may have 100% grant in 1 year, you are committing yourself to a lot of expenses in subsequent years?
So we do want this to be a living document that's updated routinely. I don't know if that's annual or every 3 years, but so we do have our current OWL program that you fund and the other member agencies. And so we do have internal funding that we use to move these things further along that we already have. If there's additional cost, that would be something that the member agencies together would agree to. And that's just how our system works. Like the member agencies want to see SAPA do something. So they'd get together, decide what that is, what the scope is, what a cost is. And then, you know, based on that, they would approve a project that SAPA would run.
Let me re-ask my question. Are there in subsequent years mandatory costs baked into this when you accept the money for this type of program?
Question. Short answer is no.
Thank you.
Great. So thank you. We have a motion and a second. So I believe we'll call the roll.
Roll call, Director Mezqua.
Yes. Sorry, I was looking for my mute. Yes.
Director Bilodeau?
Yes.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Jung? Director Meek?
Yes.
Director Nguyen?
Yes.
Director Sheldon?
Yes.
Director Tran? Director Wigand?
Yes.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Okay, that motion carries with 10 yes votes.
I'm going to skip ahead one to the SAPA report. The SAPA meeting occurred yesterday. I participated, as did Director Jung. Really, the most significant item on the agenda was a task order for $147,000 for a Rundo Donax removal. We had a presentation from the contractor on that. The item actually ended up being continued because I asked a question about the use of glyphosate, aka Roundup. You know, over the years, I've expressed opposition to that, and others as well on the board. Bayer, who owns that brand now, has paid out $11 billion in legal claims to people because of it. It's been shown to have a link to cause non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. So I just think it's unwise for us to fund projects which basically mass dose the watershed with that chemical, because then it gets into our groundwater basin. And when there's other means to eradicate a Rundo through mechanical means and whatnot. So it was sent back, and I know that several cities, as well as I believe the County of Orange, have banned the use of it by their public works department. So it was sent back, and the contractor is going to answer some questions about that if they have some other means they can use rather than spraying that chemical all over the Santa Ana watershed. I would say that was probably the most significant issue that happened at the meeting. Any questions? Seeing none, we're going to go back to item number 27, which is the Santa Ana River Water Master Report.
Roy Herndon will present the annual accounting for the Santa Ana River.
Oh, back to show. Okay, got it. Oh, sorry. Sure. There we go. There. All right. Good evening. So the Santa Ana River Water Master just finished its 54th annual report. So I'm here to give an update to the board on what the findings were for this most recent water year for the Water Master. So just a little bit of review. The Water Master is created from the 1969 judgment. It was a water rights litigation that lasted decades. Through the 1990s or 1900s, basically started in the 30s and continued all the way through to the 1960s and was settled in 1969. So we've had peace in the watershed since then. And one of the key things that the Water Master does is to basically ensure that the provisions of the judgment are being followed, which include the requirement of minimum base flows on the river at two key gauge stations on the river, one at Riverside Narrows and then downstream at the Prado Dam. And the USGS maintains stream gauges at those two locations. And so the Water Master consists of five members, two of which are nominated by OCWD, John Kennedy and myself, and then three upstream members of San Bernardino Valley, Western, and IEUA, with the folks shown here. And so we're essentially almost an arm of the court. We submit our findings to the court each year, and if there were ever to be an issue, a dispute amongst any of the Water Master agencies, it would have to be resolved in the court. The court retains jurisdiction over anything relating to the Water Master and the judgment. We haven't had to go back to the court since 1969, other than I think we had to extend the schedule for submitting the report, which is due every year by April 30th to the court. And I think we needed a couple extra months some years ago, and we asked the court to extend it temporarily, the due date for that. But otherwise, there have been no disputes that had to go to the court. Some of the duties of the Water Master are to maintain a continuous accounting
of the flows along the river and the quality. Actually, quality TDS is one component in the judgment, and report those findings each year. The water master uses the federal water year, not the OCWD water year. So the federal water year ends September 30th. And so we have our final report that's just been completed recently. And so where does the base flow come from? Primarily, it's the discharge of treated wastewater from roughly 15 upstream wastewater treatment plants that discharge water either to the river directly or to tributaries to the Santa Ana River. And then that water comes down into Orange County, and we're happy to receive it and recharge it into the aquifer here. There is a small amount of rising groundwater that contributes to the base flow, but it's primarily wastewater discharges. And I'll have a graph in the end that shows that relationship. So this is the hydrograph of the stream flow at Prado Dam, or just below Prado Dam, for this last water year. And so what we receive is daily flows from the USGS, and then we plot that on a graph. So this is 1 year of data of daily flows in cubic feet per second. And we can see basically those flows are divided into two components: base flow below the curve, and storm flow, which are the red shaded areas above the curve. And at the very top, there's a bar chart that shows rainfall during the year, daily rainfall. And you can see the taller bars represent very wet days. And this last year, we had our second year in a row of above average rainfall. So we had the average rainfall up in, this is a gauge, rain gauge is up in City of San Bernardino, where the water master has always maintained a gauge to use in its calculations and observations. And that year, the rain was about 21 inches, and the average is about 18 inches in San Bernardino. They average more rainfall than we do. We get about 14 inches. They get 18 as an average. So it was another wet year. And so we had a lot of storm flow. You can see all those red areas. So we definitely had quite a bit of storm flow. And the base flow also was higher than we normally see. So you can see the base flow increases in the wintertime. And the reason for that, a couple of reasons. One is there are more wastewater discharges going to the river during the wintertime, because there is less demand for recycled water for non-potable reuse of recycled water. And so the agencies upstream are discharging more wastewater in the wintertime than in the summer, when people are using a lot of wastewater for irrigation and things. And also, the large riparian habitat behind Prado Dam, the evapotranspiration from all those plants is less in the wintertime. So those plants, they're full of water, it's cool, it's wet, and those plants are not uptaking as much water and transpiring that water in the wintertime as compared to the summer, when they're taking up a lot of water to maintain themselves and then evaporating and transpiring that water into the atmosphere. So those are the two key reasons why base flows more in the winter than in the summer. So that's what the water master does, is each water master draws that curve, calculates what their base flow is based on their estimate of that curve, a little bit of judgment there, a little bit of art, and then we average the five water masters' base flow calculations, and whoever's base flow curve comes closest to the average, we pick that water master's curve for the annual report. So that's how we do it. Kind of fun. So we always go up and we pin up our base flow graphs up on the wall, and then we look at each other's base flows and we comment and critique them and things. And if there's a problem, we try to fix it at that meeting, and we arrive at a consensus as to whose base flow we pick.
Whose chart was that?
Is it yours this year, John? Yeah, I think you got it. Yeah. So he's getting to be a real expert at this. So the findings that are reported in the report, the key findings, we're comparing this most recent year, 23-24, with the prior year, just as a comparison from the year prior. Precipitation, two wet years in a row. Now, 23-24 wasn't quite as wet as the year before. 22-23 was a really wet year, over 25 inches that year, but still a very, very good wet year this last year. Outflow, total flow from the river at Prado, that includes base flow and storm flow, this last year was 267,000 acre feet. Sizable amount of water, not quite as much as the 312,000 acre feet the year before. But of that, the base flow was a whopping 96,000 acre feet. That is a very high number that we haven't seen in quite a few years. So that was quite a bit. The year before was about 89,000. And as you'll see in just a moment, a lot of that difference, basically all of the difference between the increase from the year before and this last year was just due to more wastewater being discharged to the river. And the other thing that the Water Master does is calculate the flow-weighted total dissolved solids or salt content. Because the upstream agencies and part of the judgment is they get a credit, they get an adjustment in the actual, in the base flow, if the TDS is lower than 700. 700 is a pretty low bar, so it's pretty easy to be better than 700 milligrams per liter, especially when you're blending in storm flow, which has very low salts. So, but that's how the judgment was done, was to provide a little bit of an incentive for the upstream agencies to give us not super salty water. And so anytime the base flow is more than the required 42,000 acre feet per year, that's the judgment requirement is 42,000 acre feet per year. If they give us more water, then, or we get more water than that 42,000 as far as base flow, that delta gets added to the cumulative credit. And the cumulative credit is it will never be exhausted, because the only time they would ever use it is if we got less than 42,000 acre feet per year. And they have a minimum, an absolute minimum, no matter if that credit is 8 billion acre feet, they still have to give us 34,000 acre feet of base flow. So that means they could use up to about 8,000 acre feet of the credit. And you can divide 8,000 into almost 4 million. And you can see it'll be hundreds of years that they would ever use up that credit. And there's nothing else to do with the credit. So it really doesn't mean much. So the graph here shows what we do is each year we compare the wastewater discharges. This would be all the wastewater discharged upstream of Prado, and compare that with the annual base flows. And this graph goes back to 1970, which was the first year the Water Master did a report. And we can see all through the 1970s and 1980s on into the 90s, wastewater discharges and base flow were increasing as the Inland Empire developed and the population increased and discharged more water to their wastewater treatment plants. And we were thinking the sky was never the sky was the limit on what the base flow was going to do. And for about 9 or 10 years, we were getting over 140,000 acre feet a year of base flow. But lo and behold, the Inland Empire agencies figured out ways of capturing more of their wastewater and either recharging it or reusing it. And their total demands decreased just like ours did. People conserve more water, they're using less water per capita. And so we saw the wastewater discharges decrease pretty abruptly in the 2000s. And we've been kind of level since about 2010, right around 70,000, 75,000 acre feet. But we did have these last 2 years, very wet years, where we saw a big jump in wastewater discharges, and that corresponded to higher base flow. So pretty good correlation between wastewater discharge and base flow. And that's all I had. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Director Sheldon, do you have a question?
Thank you for thinking of me, but I do not.
Oh, I didn't clear you from
pleasure of my colleagues.
I didn't clear you from the last go around. Anyone else have a question? Going online? Okay, Roy, thank you for that insightful presentation. That was an informational item. Next is the water resources summary.
Yeah, that information is in the packet, and staff can answer any questions.
Great. No questions, I assume. Okay, that brings us to committee conference meeting reports. Communications and Legislative Committee, Chair Tran. Great. And then the Property Management Committee, Chair Sheldon.
Packet.
And the Water Issues Committee, Chair Green.
I'll report on it. Yeah, it's on page 265 of the packet. I was chairing in Chair Green's absence at Aqua.
Fantastic. And then the Administration and Finance Issues Committee, Chair Yeo.
Yes, the information is contained in tonight's agenda packet. Thank you.
Great. Are there any reports on committees, conferences, and meetings attended at district expense, which a quorum of the board is present? Hearing none. Verbal reports. I think I just have one report. This evening, the district was presented an award to the communications department for an informational video that they had produced, and it was actually presented in the city of Pittsburgh, and I was able to get my son to go pinch hit and collect the award this evening in Pittsburgh. It was a no dinner dinner, and it turned out. But he got dressed in a suit and went and collected that award from us, which actually the award, if we actually want the award, we have to pay a fee to have one sent to us, it turns out. So that's, I guess, the Pittsburgh way. But Mr. Kennedy's from Pittsburgh, and I'm sure he can explain all that to us later. So, and I paid his ticket, by the way. So there we are. That's my report this evening. Let's see. I see in here it says something about the creation of a GDRS tour ad hoc committee.
We had discussed the potentially upgrading and refreshing our tour program for GWRS, and recommendation to maybe form an ad hoc committee, look at what other agencies are doing, and bring back some of those ideas back to the water district. So we were looking at if any board members were interested. A committee might be, you know, we might go visit a few different water districts and see what. So something that could last maybe 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, there's one or two in LA.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But there's some ideas out there. And perhaps we could incorporate some of them.
So why don't we do this just for the sake of time? If anybody wants to serve on an ad hoc committee like that, just let me know and we'll bring it back and appoint a committee if anybody wants to lean in. And then the general manager's report.
In addition to that, weren't we supposed to get a time for board members to go over to Mesa Water to...
Yeah,
Eric's already said.
Yeah, that I brought this up at the ComEdge meeting, and I was kind of promoting the ad hoc, and but that would be part of this. It would be to get over to Mesa Water. I felt that their educational center is kind of on par with what we could do for GWRS. So I nominate myself to be part of that when it's appropriate.
But, I nominate you as chairman.
Happy to do it.
Yeah, I think we definitely need to probably up our game in terms of the tour aspect here, because we get so many visitors day to day. So that'd be great. General Manager's report.
Just one thing to report. Tomorrow at 10 a.m., we'll have our dedication ceremony at Austin PFAS treatment plant. We have three board members who would.
Great. Are there any director's reports this evening?
Yeah. I went to the Aqua Conference. It was really very, very good. I heard absolutely no criticism except for one morning's breakfast. They didn't like the quiches. And that's the only criticism I heard. There were over 1,600 participants, lots and lots of different panels that were excellent. I think one big problem is you had to choose what your favorite one is and go to that and call it a day. Anyway, other than that, it was great.
Great. Thank you for that report. I believe now we'll turn it over to the general counsel.
President, just one closed session this evening. Discuss existing litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9D1 in the case of OCWD versus 3M, and recommend recess to closed session.
We shall recess to closed session. Thank you.
Hey, we've returned from closed session to discuss existing litigation, and there are no reportable items from the closed session.
So this meeting is adjourned.
6:52.